Welcome to the Fright Crew.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
What's spooky, you creeps? I'm your spooky ooky ghost trying to scare you and your family out of my house, Jensen Harper.
And I am a dead receptionist who just hasn't been the same since her little accident.
That is you, man. That is Courtney.
That is me. I know. Here we are.
Right there. Yep. You dressed up as her, right?
I did.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's my favorite costume I've ever done.
Right, Miss Argentina, right? Or whatever it's called? Yep, okay. Yep, that is, if you can't guess it already, well, first off, who the heck are we, Courtney?
We are still the Fright Crew.
Still barely kicking. Dude, we are on very low HP hit points. We are low. It's that time of year, A, where it's just busy for everybody, and we're kind of squeaking this episode out. I'm not saying we're not giving it the time it deserves. I'm just saying we're definitely, if it wouldn't have happened tonight, I feel like it wouldn't happen at all. No, just kidding.
That's true.
Very true. On God. Well, what movie did you want to, this is your final ever pick, bro.
No, that kind of makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
You put it that way. Oh, like, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Picked Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first thing that came to my brain when we were talking about just doing like favorites that we probably never would. Because it wouldn't really ever make sense for us to do this one. Like, we've talked about it briefly in like our favorite like Halloween movies to watch. Like during Halloween time, when we were like just going down our list, whatever, this was on mine, of course, yeah. But it really wouldn't have ever made sense. So,
it never really fit a theme. And, you know, that was one issue with coming up with the concept of, hey, we should start doing themes. I remember that was like, should we do this? Should we? I don't know. We decided to. So, yeah. And like, obviously it's kind of part of like the zeitgeist around here of the Fright Crew that Jensen doesn't really like Beetlejuice that much or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I'm exhausted, bro. I just, it's not that I don't like it. I just don't love it. Does that make sense? Is that a sentence that makes sense?
I get
okay.
It.
Okay. Cause
I don't agree with it. And
I know.
Probably won't be friends after.
No, I get that. Yeah, butt. Like the last episode, you're not even going to show up for. I get it.
Yeah.
Like,
I have drawn the line here.
Hey, I don't blame you at all when it's one of your favorites, you know? I mean, this is the final episode ever that you're choosing, so I get it when, you know. And I'd say with this rewatch, like, there's not much to update on. I'm still in the same boat, I'd say, which is, like I said, I like it. But I don't love it. And I honestly, I don't need to like watch this. I don't know. I get the spooky ooky vibes for like Halloween time, but I personally feel like I don't need to like watch it. So question for you. I mean, since this is one of your favorites, like, do you watch this movie every Halloween, like, or whatever?
Mm-hmm. I watch it pretty often, actually. Okay. At least a couple times a year.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and that makes sense. I get it. I've got those movies as well. So I just wanted to make sure it was like one of the movies that you watched every year. So I want to hear it. Like, what is it about Beetlejuice for you? And so many people too. I understand that, but especially, you know, it's one of your favorites. So talk about it.
I'm trying to think when the first time I even watched it was.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had it on VHS when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I think it just came on the TV one day. I think I was in like elementary school. And it kind of terrified me, with like the effects and stuff when he's like a snake and whatever. You can imagine that would horrify children.
Yeah.
But I still really liked it because I like the like aesthetic of it. I like the like effects and the props and all that stuff, because I've always been like a big fan of just like Tim Burton films in general. But then I think like when I got into high school is when like I just had a full-blown obsession with it, where I was watching it all the time. I based my entire personality around it, and like I thought I was gonna have a fucking Beetlejuice tattoo. Thank God I didn't do that. But yeah, I was like 18. I think I was like calling tattoo shops asking if they could like tattoo Beetlejuice's face on my foot.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, could you imagine if I had that right now? Hey. Like, I still probably would have a Beetlejuice tattoo, just maybe something more tasteful, maybe.
Yeah, a little more tasteful. I get that. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those comfort movies. And I just feel like a lot of people that are like in my life, and even people that don't really know me that well, just always bring that movie up to me because they kind of like have realized how much I love it.
Yeah,
I'm sure you kind of knew that too, even without me really talking about it that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always been a favorite of mine ever since I saw it for the first time.
Okay.
I think it was my favorite movie for a really long time until I actually branched out and started watching more movies.
Different but, fucking things, instead of like the one over and over again. I get that, yeah. We've all been there.
Yep.
I
just love it. It's fun. It's a fun movie. I like the storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Beetlejuice
on...
is nasty, little raunchy, little freak.
He is problematic, man. Man
he is
canceled
problematic.
Today. Yes. Man is hella canceled, for sure.
Does not age well, I will say.
No,
that's
no,
Beetlejuice
no.
For you.
Yeah. Yep, I would agree on like the practical effects and everything still. That's definitely why it deserves my rating, for sure, is just like the aesthetic of it. And how well done it is. And like the lighting is always fun, you know, in Tim Burton films and stuff. It's very, it's cool because you can see roots of, did Tim Burton direct technically, Corpse Bride? Right.
I think so. Yes. Pretty and sure. then
yeah.
I think the only one that he like didn't direct, but produced, I think was like Coraline or something.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I think Corpse Bride is his, and like you can see kind of like similar lighting effects and like things that just come out of Tim Burton's brain, which is super interesting. I like the eerie green spooky ooky stuff, and like just the effects are like cartoonish but also disturbing at the same time. So
and very him, and he's very unique. Like you can tell what is his style, because it
easy,
is
yes.
very different from anyone else.
Yeah,
but it's also just like there's so much of it now.
Oh yeah,
like, he's made a lot of movies.
Exactly, dude. Yeah, I mean, you know, he's one of those directors that literally is in that pantheon of people who you can watch one of his films without knowing who directed it, and by the end of it you're like, yeah, that was definitely a Tim Burton movie, you know. It's just obvious. So it's definitely cool, and I love that you love it, because I did grow up a huge Tim Burton fan. Nightmare Before Christmas was one of my all-time favorites. I was one of those, you know, cute little goth boys with the Jack Skellington beanie and parachute pants and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's that still was, you on the inside.
Yeah, it is. It really is, right? And yeah, so I love that for you. I really do. And I wish nothing but the best for you and Beetlejuice.
Thank you. Thank Happy, you. We're going to be getting married.
Yeah, just like, yep. Sweet. Well, before we get into the notes, do you have anything to else to like add, or not really?
I don't think so. No. Okay. I love it for me as well, though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sweet. Well, guys, as you know, we are, you know, these last episodes, we're skipping the brains. We wanted to kind of relax and just like do these for the love of it. So we're going to get right into the heart and just get in some notes. All right. So the movie opens up with, admittedly, a pretty cool title card. And then we get some also like very Danny Elfman music vibes, of course.
Yeah.
Very much so. And then it's like helicopter footage of like this quaint little town. And then at some point, it's actually pretty cool. It turns into like miniatures of some like streets leading up to a house, which is then revealed to be a miniature that is in the attic of this beautiful house, this little, well, not little, it's actually a pretty big house. And so the dude, Adam, has essentially made a miniature of the whole town, I believe. One thing, like, so Courtney, correct me with anything that's wrong or like, cause I might have some questions, you know, I mean, there's some that I'm just like, I don't know. So yeah, he made like a miniature thing of the town. And then up comes his wife, right? Barbara. Mm-hmm. Like, Barbara. Are they married? I'm assuming. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Barbara, to give him a gift, and they're seemingly very in love. And then some lady named Jane comes by and basically is wanting for them to move out and sell the house because it's just, they're going to get a lot of money for it. So the happy couple leaves, they leave home in their very awesome Volvo 240 wagon. You know, me car, gotta track the cars.
Car guy.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. They go to, is it their store? Is it the store that they own? Because like
I think so.
They're on vacation and he goes to the shop and unlocks it and stuff, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's their shop that they own or whatever. And they're, like I said, they're on vacation now for a couple weeks, they said. And of course, a staycation to be exact, which is perfect. They're a very cute couple. I love, dude, I honestly, like, could we continue this portion? I don't like when, what are they called? Like the family come in essentially, other than Lydia. But
the Dietzes.
Yeah, the Dietzes, yeah. So yeah, they're on a staycation. And as they drive back home, they come to like this beautiful red covered bridge over a river where a cute little doggy is in the way. And to avoid it, Barbara crashes into the side of the bridge. And then in kind of a comical way, the dog steps off of the single plank that's holding their car up over the water. And once it steps off, it leads the car straight into the river below.
Plummeted.
Yep, plummaged, exactly, dude. Yes. The two of them get back home and they're all wet, wondering why they're so cold, not knowing how they got back there either. Adam leaves the house for a second, and right out front there's like some, like the sandworm creature, and they're living in the miniature house. Like there's all these things, they're like, what the fuck? And inside there's a book on the table called Handbook for the Recently Deceased. So you know something happened in that river.
Mm-hmm.
So cut to Beetlejuice reading the newspaper about some recently deceased people or, you know, whatever, stuff like that. He likes to keep up with the news. Fake news for him because he's problematic.
And stinky.
A little bit, yeah, yep. You know he is. Dude, you know that mouth is kicking.
Yeah. Sure.
Smells like garlic and fucking termites, yeah. What did I say last week? A bowl of sugar and I don't even know.
Something foul, probably.
Yeah. Cut back to Barbara and Adam in the attic, wondering what they do now. They hear a car out front and it's Jane. And I really like the line, Barb, honey, we're dead. I don't think there's much to worry about anymore. High key, that sounds dope, dude. Like, honestly, I think all couples, or even just friends, whatever, like, this sounds vibey. Like, I want to live in an attic with Chanel and just, like...
I kind of do, too. Not have to worry about bills.
Dude, for real. And just, like, haunt people? That'd be sick. I'm so down. So, the two of them are awoken abruptly by a loud truck. And it's pretty funny because, like, Barbara is floating in the air. And then when they hear it, she falls. It's cute. Anyway, in come Delia, Charles, and Lydia, the Dietzes or whatever. So they've clearly bought their house, and you can tell they're kind of not traditionally, like they're total opposite of these people, the Barb and Adam who lived there. And for some reason, their friend Otho comes by through the window for some reason. He's just doing his own thing. Love that for him.
I do too. I like him.
Yeah, I don't mind him. Yeah, I don't mind him at all. So back to Adam and Barb, they realize that they're ghosts, so they can actually fuck with them. And they're pretty pumped on that because they clearly don't like these people. Barb tries to fuck with them by hiding in the closet, ripping her face off, but they can't see her anyway. And then Delia is running around the house with Otho trying to like figure out how to like remodel the place with her art and all this stuff. I'm not sure. Basically, yeah. Also, the ghosts try to scare them with acting out a murder scene. See, this is where the effects, I was like, okay, this is fun, you know? Like
I love it. I do love it all because it is, yeah. Like, they put a lot of work into those props and stuff too. Like you can tell.
Yeah. So while Delia and Otho climb the stairs to the attic, Adam rushes up there to lock the door before they can get in. And then the two of them can feel something pass by them, they say. Otho thinks that something cool is up there. He's very intrigued as to what is up in the attic. So Barbara is fed up with it all. So she leaves the house and falls into another sand dimension thing or whatever with the weird sandworm thing. Yeah. Like, so the whole like other dimension, like what is your perception on like the sand stuff? Is that like purgatory? Like,
I would think so. That's what I felt. It's an interesting way to perceive it though. Like you take a like sand desert, but I'll take it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's visually cool. And like, obviously the sandworm has black and white chunky stripes and crazy teeth that reminds you a lot of something that would be in Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, for sure. So at dinner that night, the new family are unhappy with the food that they're eating and stuff. Lydia claims her entire life is a dark room. I love that for her. I love that. Yeah, they say that the furniture trucks are coming tomorrow and that everything must go. Dang. So the next day, while the furniture is being delivered, Adam and Barb get an ad that falls out of the book about an exorcist for ghosts. He essentially will help get the humans out. So anyway, the crane operator slams one of Delia's art pieces into the side of the house and nearly kills her with it, which is crazy. Lydia is photographing it all when she looks up to the attic window and is actually able to see the two ghosties. Whoa. Why do I feel like you at like, I don't know, age 16, 17, were just running around whole ass like Lydia, you know, just trying to be the best Lydia you could.
I fucking wish.
Just wearing a veil at all times for no reason.
Yes. I just grew up in a fucking suburban neighborhood instead.
Oh, yeah. True, true. You can't be that edgy goth girl.
I can't.
Here. Not as much. Not like Lydia Dietz. Nope. So Lydia is given a key to the entire house, a skeleton key, to which the first thing that she wants to do is go up to the attic, of course. They have to block the door to make sure that she can't get into the attic, but then they get an ad on their TV about Beetlejuice and what service that he can provide for them. Adam uses chalk to draw a door on the wall, which works, but has a wild amount of green neon light emanating from it, which, like I said, super cool. They go in, but Lydia sees the light underneath the door, so she knows something is going on up there. Lydia goes to tell her dad about what she saw, but he says not to bother him right now, of course. So Adam and Barb end up like, they're like in a, I don't know what it would be called, like a service area where there are like a bunch of dead people and they talk to the receptionist, you know, Courtney, who claims that they have a caseworker named Juno or something like that. I don't know what it would like. Do you know what it's called? Like the Bureau of Dead People? Like,
yeah, it's I'm pretty sure they're all just waiting for the same thing.
Yeah, they need to like talk to their. So like, see, this is why I don't like understand. What is it? Does that make sense? I don't know. It's just like an office and they have to like, I know why they're there. It's because they're not happy. I don't know, man. I mean, I watched this whole ass movie and I was like the details of it. I was like, I'm a little confused, but like, it's a fun movie. So I don't know. So back at the house, Lydia gets into the attic and begins to look at everything, including their book of the recently deceased. The Maitlands are called to go to the sixth floor or whatever by a dude who was smashed by a vehicle. Love that. It looks pretty gnarly. So the two of them get to their door, and when they go through it, they're back in their house, which is redecorated already. Juno, because they were waiting there for like a month or something. Juno, their caseworker, meets them in there, and they tell her that they are very unhappy. She kind of walks with them through the house and she tells them how to better haunt the Deetzes in a more efficient way. She also tells them not to contact Beetlejuice or else they will regret it. But, you know, it's a movie, so.
So of course they're going to do it. Yeah, the movie's called Beetlejuice.
And actually, you bringing that up does make me think of like the fact that it is called Beetlejuice. It's roughly, I mean, he's so popular, right, in the zeitgeist of people who love Beetlejuice, but yet he has like the least amount of on-screen time. Like he's not in the movie a lot, I don't think. So when he is, he's great. Problematic, but great.
Just doing a stinky little bug man thing.
Exactly. Eating poor flies. Yeah. That's who I should.
And whatever the fuck else he is doing.
Yeah.
The fly, help me.
Help me. Yeah, dude. That's fucked up. So in the miniature town, Beetlejuice, that was my next note, lures in a fly with a Zagnut candy bar, and then he catches it and eats it. Like we said, help me. Cut to Adam is trying to scare Charles, but it doesn't work again. They then try to go scare Delia, and Lydia hears them, but she thinks it's actually Delia and Charles having sex, dude. As they're leaving the room, Lydia is taking Polaroids of them and notices that they don't have feet. She confronts them and asks if they're creepy or not. Under the sheets, of course. Lydia is able to see them because she is strange and unusual. If that's not a vibe, I don't know what it is.
I know.
Yeah.
It's an iconic quote.
It is. Very strange and unusual. So, cut to, Delia is prepping for a big dinner party that she's having when Lydia tries to tell her that the house has ghosts, but she doesn't believe her. Later that day, Adam and Barb are in the attic relaxing when there's a light going off in the miniature town. They know that it's Beetlejuice, so they say his name three times or however many times it is, and they end up being in the miniature like town themselves with him. The two of them dig up his grave, and he flies out of the coffin. He kisses Barb and introduces himself. He's quite a character, of course, but he's also a creeper. Yep. So, cut to the dinner party. Otho says that people who commit suicide end up as civil servants or something like that. Wow. A comment that was made. Jesus. Then the ghosts make everyone at the dinner party dance to the song Deo and then scare the shit out of them with the shrimp hands.
I love the shrimp hands.
Yeah, those are pretty sweet.
I want my own shrimp hand.
Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, man. I feel like at the White Elephant last year, whatever year that was, and you got that latex like lobster hand claw. Dude, like that's the closest you've ever been to Beetlejuice shrimp hands, okay?
They do have like a shrimp hand bowl that they sell at Spirit Halloween.
There you go.
I almost got it this year, but I think I was just like, no, maybe like I'll wait for like I don't know what the fuck I was waiting for, but I should have got it.
Yeah,
it was like $50. Yeah. Worth it.
Should have got it, man, for sure. Yep.
Ooh, it's still available on their website. Ooh, maybe I could.
There you go. There you go. Get it. Yeah. Got it. Now it's more expensive. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's like 90.
So yeah, after the shrimp hands thing, no one is actually scared though. They're actually super excited about it all and request Adam and Barb to come down to talk to them, but they don't want to. So Delia's agent leaves and she's now embarrassed by all of it. So they go upstairs to talk to them, but they hide, and the family, except Lydia, of course, yell at Adam and Barb. Lydia tells them to leave them alone. So Beetlejuice makes fun of their scaring skills. And as the family are walking around the house, he takes over and scares them by becoming a giant snake and by fucking with them. Barb says his name three times and it transports him back to the miniature town. We also get a very strange scene of Beetlejuice going into a strip club, essentially. So that was cool.
Dante's Inferno.
Yep. I was like, sick. There we go. He's going in. The two of them are pulled into Juno's office where she yells at them for doing everything wrong so far. They've called Beetlejuice and even let their photo get taken. So Juno is not happy. She says that the strip club was her idea to distract him for a bit. Jesus Christ. So cut to the next day. Otho is telling Delia and Charles that he's going to draw these ghosts out. And the whole reason is because they think that this will lead them to more money, of course. Also, Lydia is in her room writing her suicide note, I guess. Right?
What?
I said Lydia is in her room writing her suicide note, I guess.
Oh, yes. Yes, she was. She was okay, about to jump off a bridge.
Yeah, I feel like that really comes out of nowhere.
I thought you said, was she wearing a suit? I was like, I don't remember.
You're like, maybe.
Her life is a dark hole.
Yeah, dude. It's a she's fucking very dark room. Yeah. Yeah. It's strange and unusual. Yeah, I really feel like that comes out of nowhere. Because, I mean, yes, like she kind of fits the atypical mold of being a depressed teenager or whatever.
Angsty teen girl.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, for it to just to like cut to her in a room, like literally crying over a piece of paper and like saying, I love you all kind of thing. I was like, wow, this got okay. And I, and like
they have to throw that little plot twist in there.
I guess so. Yeah. And like the whole reason later we find out is because she wants to be like closer to Adam and Barb. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way she could think of doing that. But I'm like, damn. All right. So, back at the office, Juno asked them what they're doing to what they're going to do to get the Dietzes out of the house. So they change their head shape a bit. And she says they'll be good to go with that because they are looking a little creepy. So Lydia goes into the attic and runs into Beetlejuice. She tells him that she wants to end her life. He tries to trick her to say his name three times so that he can help her out, quote unquote, in ending her life. I'm pretty sure, which is, it's like pretty damn dark as well. Beetlejuice kills people, man. Like he says he does. So he's not against ending people's lives. So Barbara tells Adam how much she likes Lydia and that she doesn't want to scare her away. Barb and Adam interrupt just in time before she says his name one more time. And Lydia tells them that she wanted to get to them on the other side. Barb and Adam tell her that they are ready to invite her and her family to stay for good. But in come Charles and Otho. They take the miniature town set to make a presentation to that one dude to show them that the ghosts are real, which, you know, I don't know how that works out, but that's what is happening. Otho begins a seance. And Barbara and Adam begin to disappear and their bodies pop up in front of everyone at the table where the seance is happening. But they're very visibly dying out or like passing on or whatever you'd say. You know, I don't really know. Yeah. Cause she's like in a bridal like dress and she's like looking like a monster.
Getting the life sucked out of her. Well,
yeah.
Not really, I guess. Life.
Yeah. Left. Something. The soul. Yeah. The soul is the sucked soul. Out of her. Yep. Yeah. Lydia has the great idea to have Beetlejuice to help them out. He makes a deal with her. So she says his name three times and he pops up to quote unquote help them. Beetlejuice sends the agent and his wife through the ceiling, which was awesome. Otho tries to leave, but instead he tears his suit off, revealing another suit, which embarrasses him. I didn't understand the joke there. Do you?
No.
Or am I? Okay.
It's just
it's just like, haha, he's got another suit on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Only a couple more notes, dude. Sorry.
It's only an hour and 28 minutes, which.
Yeah, it's not really a long movie. Yeah.
Dude, Chef's kiss. Yes. But yeah, it's kind of just, you know.
It's a thing.
Self-explanatory most of the time.
Yep. So it's revealed that the deal was that Lydia has to marry Beetlejuice in order for Adam and Barb to be saved. All of Delia's sculptures come to life, which is cool, but also super random. So then there's a ceremony and everyone's trying to say his name so that he's sent back to the miniature town. But Beetlejuice sends Barb to the Sandland before she can say it. He also sends Adam to the miniature land before he can say it. But Barb is able to use one of those sandworms to like pull Beetlejuice back into hell where he came from, basically, kind of thing. Yep, basically.
Where he belongs.
Right, exactly. So, cut to Lydia is riding her bike home from school, all happy and not goth anymore, I guess, you know, because that's what happens, right?
Why do they always do that? Why do they fucking do that? They're like, you know what? This character's so cool. It's like on The Breakfast Club. They're like, whatever. And then soccer now. The end of the movie, they're like, oh, look at her now. She's wearing a pink sweater and she's blah, blah, blah. It's like, what's so bad about liking dark stuff?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot, I guess. So Barb and Adam ask Lydia about her tests at school and how they're going. So in a weird way, they're sort of like her second parents now. Everyone else is happy as well. Beetlejuice waits for his turn at the DMV of death thing, and he gets his head shrunk down. And that is the end of my notes. Boom. So I know that
when he like tries to steal the like waiting sign, because his is so fucking long, and then the other person's like next in line.
Yes, dude.
It's like, okay, like, it's not obvious.
Right. He's like, I'm up next. Yeah. Jesus Christ. So what, I guess, run me through a couple things. I'm trying to think of questions that I have. I'll start at the end here, since I just read this note. Like, what is your interpretation? Like, why? Oh my gosh. I don't know how to ask it. Like, do you think that Lydia's parents suck as people, and like that's why Barb and Adam are now her kind of guardians or parents? But like,
well, they're all living together,
right,
at the end of it. So I think the parents were just like maybe neglectful because the mom's like this artist, whatever, that's what she gives a shit about, is
yeah,
her like crazy art pieces, which they're pretty interesting. Like, if I could find something like that, yeah, I'd buy it. Yeah. Her little headband made out of rubber glove or leather gloves.
Right.
But I think, like, after all of that happened, whatever, Barb and Adam got to stay in the house. I think they all kind of just coexist together. But it is odd because I was thinking that too, where it kind of felt like they were like her guardians, but yeah, then also her parents are still living there.
Yeah, it felt very strange because, like, basically the interpretation I got was she comes home from school and they're the ones asking her about her mm-hmm. school and how it yep. went and stuff, kind of like parents would slash should. Yep. And, like, dad is fucked off in his office doing whatever, and mom
reading
is, like,
the manual.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then mom is, I don't know what she's doing. Yeah. I was just like, okay, so, like, but yeah, obviously, you know that they're at the house as well. So it's just, it's a little strange to me that it's like, you know, here are her new parents.
Just have dead also... people taking care of your
right,
child.
Right, right. Exactly. I was just like, okay. But like, I don't know, maybe I'm missing, you know, we need like another person to come in and be like, well, this is my interpretation of it. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe like it's actually a, like a darker story that these ghosts don't exist and Lydia just imagines them. Or something. I don't.
Yeah, know. Could you be. Know? Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So, and I feel like I had other questions. I probably should have asked them while I was reading my notes, but I didn't. I mean, what? So when it comes to you loving Beetlejuice so much, I'm not saying every dude, like, Brain Dead is one of my favorites. You know, the story is pretty fucking loose, right? So I'm not yeah. saying it needs to be the most cinematic masterpiece type story, but I'm saying when you put on Beetlejuice, like, what is more so what draws you in? Is it actually, I'll just, like, what is it to you that draws you in mostly to Beetlejuice?
I think it's just visually appealing.
Yeah.
But also, like, I like the comedy aspect to it. Mm-hmm. I like the characters. I just like all of it because it is kind of just mindless watching
at this point,
because there isn't a whole ton yeah. of like substance,
right,
but it's just fun,
right? Yeah,
a little no, raunchy. I
mean, yeah it's raunchy, it's comedic. I mean, yeah, it's funny at parts.
Same with like Basket Case. It's like, why what do I just love about it? It's like, you show that movie to people. Like, I've shown it to people who aren't, like, they don't get it, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's there to get? But like, they'll watch it and be like, what? Like, this is a movie that you love that much. Like, why?
Right.
Like, why not?
That's an interesting comparison. Because it's fucking to make. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. No, that really is interesting to say because I definitely agree. Like, in this fucking weird ass way, I feel like Basket Case has a more coherent story, dude. Hear me out. I don't
know. I could see that. Yeah, I could see that because it kind of is just another, like, a really weird storyline. It's like, oh, he has this conjoined twin brother that he carries around in a basket. Yeah. This is what happened. The mom died at childbirth. So there is, like, a storyline to it.
Right, right.
But it's a lot of people don't pay attention to it because they're just watching, like,
crazy shit.
Just what the fuck is going on the screen? Yeah,
Belial in a fucking basket, a picnic basket. Yes. Yeah.
When he's just destroying the hotel room.
Exactly, dude. Yeah. yes, with the rage. Yeah, dude, I love that shit. Oh my god, what a fucking movie. It's I'm glad we got that done though a long time ago, at least, right? You know, it's too bad we couldn't have done it at the end here too, but oh man, good episode, good movie, fun times, good shit, dude. So yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really have any more questions for you. You know, I obviously always respect like your opinion and stuff. And trust me, when we go into ratings in a second, it's not bad. It's not. It's just, I think the
change of tone. Oh my god, Jensen. If it's like a 2.5, I'm gonna scream.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Is it a fucking 2.5?
We need to get in the cause of death, okay?
Oh my god. My life is over.
Oh my god. All right, we're gonna get into the old cause of death here. So Courtney, do you want me to start or do you want to start? What's more fair?
You already know it's a 5 out of 5.
Okay. I mean, I actually I guessed it could be, but also, I mean, I was just making sure, you know.
Yeah.
So five out of five. Okay, sick. It is not a 2.5 for me. It is a 2. No, I'm kidding. It's a 3.
You pushed it a little too high. It's a 1.8. Yeah.
It was a little higher. Yeah. No. For me, it's a 3.0.
Okay.
I think the biggest question for me. So here's the thing, right? On Letterboxd, when I rewatched it, I always, you know, like it shows you your rating of it and everything. I had it at a 3.5. I'm so sorry, Courtney. I went down because I think, okay, hear me out, dude. During October, when it's on TV all the goddamn time, in the background, I'm like, yeah, dude, it's cool because of the effects, the characters, the lighting, like it's fun, right? The one-liners, like my whole life is a dark room, strange and unusual, like all these things, right? But when you sit down and like actually watch it, and you're trying to like understand the story and stuff, I'm sorry. It just went down for me. Dude, trust me. I am alone in this thought. I am alone in this space. You are validated by all of our listeners guaranteed right now. So they're probably.
What does Chanel think about this movie?
Believe it or not, she is in the same boat as me. I think she dislikes it more than I do. Yeah. She'd probably like, she doesn't want to watch it. She, you know, so she's not a Beetlejuice girly. I'm sorry. You know, we're weird.
We went to that Beetlejuice bar together.
Technically, we went to was it Tim Burton experience thing, like a Tim Burton.
It's pretty Beetlejuice though.
It was very Beetlejuice. Trust me, when we walked in, we were like, "Oh, this is very Beetlejuice."
You just wanted to run for the hills, didn't you?
We were like, "Hey, this is still cool. It's still vibes, you know." So that is our lives. Now that I've spilled the tea,
you guys hate me.
I'm sorry, Courtney. You don't have to come back for next week if you don't want to.
Yeah. No, I'm going to because it's a movie that I love. Hey. So you'll see me there.
Hey, guess what? I guarantee you weren't on the pod when we did Alien. That was just Whit and I way back when. If you would have been on for Alien, because you are not a sci-fi horror girly or like Alien stuff, I know you would respect it, but I don't know if you'd like it that much, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I'm not a big fan. Honestly, yeah. One star. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I was trying to hurt you like you hurt me.
I'm not trying to hurt you. Hey, for me, come on. A 3 is not that bad. The question
is...
Yeah,
it's really not. That's, yeah, average. Right.
The question for me, right, because we do this when it's like a 3, is does it have a heart attached to it or not? And this one, I think it really just depends on what mood I'm in. So critically, I'm going to say no heart. But during October, and if it's on TV while I'm, I don't know, eating gluten-free cookies, I don't know, like, I don't know, doing Halloween stuff, like, yeah, maybe with a heart for sure. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, I'll go fuck myself.
What a bang we're ending up. Yeah. Like, oh man. It's funny though, because we usually don't disagree. Other. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. It's kind of nice. Nice to disagree a little bit.
It is, because this is unique for us. Usually, I mean, dude, half the time we're almost the same exact rating too.
I know.
It's crazy. We're the same fucking, except for Beetlejuice, I guess.
I wonder. Next week will probably be another agreement. So we need to throw a wrench in it.
Exactly. We had to have one to go out on, right? Yeah, exactly. But yes, next week, I am assuming we will definitely be on the same page. So, all right. Well, dude. Oh, man. Without getting emotional. For real, dude. It's becoming real. That was your last pick, dude.
I know.
I'm getting a little teary-eyed for real. IRL. That's crazy. That was your last pick, my dude, ever.
That's insane. Years. It's been years.
Yeah.
It's of insane. So many picks.
Yeah. That's you know, crazy. With Christmas right here, I've been watching a lot of Christmas horror. And like I watched Christmas Evil today and I was like,
yes,
bro.
Christmas Evil. I saw a post about that on Instagram.
Yeah.
Dude. And I remembered doing that episode. Yeah.
Yep. Oh man. So
Black Christmas.
Yep.
Piggy Black Cunt.
Christmas. Piggy Cunt. Yes. Oh shit. Fuck. So like, honestly, dude, how does it feel that was like your last pick? Are you okay?
Yeah, I feel good that was my last pick.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, solid to go out.
But it
on
is
that.
Very bittersweet.
It really is, man. It's like a 90% dark chocolate bittersweet. Yeah,
98%. It's like eating pure fucking bitters.
Yes. Oh man. Yeah. It's you know, I think next recording, because we're not sure if it'll be exactly next week, guys, just saying honestly. But if it does happen to be, I think that'll be kind of like the moment. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me, my emotional like charting of this was when you and I decided that we were done. You know, like I remember that discussion we had. The couple weeks after that were actually probably the most emotional. I think there's almost like an excitement of what could be next now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying that I'm going to start another podcast right away or anything. It's not like that. I'm saying like, obviously with the movie and, you know, that we're making and just there's opportunities in the future to do other things.
Yeah.
So I think there's just exciting things on the horizon. And so I'm like anticipating those things now at this point. And yes, next week I'll say we'll be super rough, like with the ending statements, especially starting with the original TCM and ending with the awesome remake of it in 2003 or whatever. Like it's going to be, yeah, it's super bittersweet. And
that was a good pick though, too. That'll be an exciting one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I always feel like that movie, TCM, and maybe this applies to you too. I know it does with Chanel, that kind of was the first film that got me into horror movies. And we'll obviously talk more about it next week. But for me, it was like a huge influence on cinema for me and what I chose,
same.
What path I chose, you know? Yeah. Cause it's just so bleak and dark. And I didn't know you could experience that in film. So, all right, dude. Well, I don't know what else to say about Beetlejuice. I'm happy that you got your moment and your time and stuff. And it almost was one of those things where I was like, do you want to take the notes on the movie? But I think I did a good job. I wasn't too negative or anything with the notes. No. So
I'll never forgive you for it, but
exactly,
it was fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, sweet. I guess we'll kick off an outro, right?
We shall.
All right. Well, guys, that was Beetlejuice from I don't know what year, 1980 something.
Yeah. What was it? 86? Let me look.
Yeah. You say that.
I should directed... know this.
Right. That's okay. I get it. So whatever year it was. And
88.
Directed by Tim Burton. Sick. We finally covered that. And that was Courtney's final ever pick. Great way to end it. And we're crying inside softly.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. If, like I said, guys, next week, TCM, Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 03, I believe, or 06, something like that. I think it's 03 with Jessica Biel and all that jazz. Stay tuned for that. That is our final episode, which is crazy to say. So, whatever. We'll catch you guys next week on that. And if you guys want to catch us online, you can find me on Instagram and Letterboxd at Jensen Harper. You can find Courtney on just Instagram at Little Sky Dancer. You can follow the both of us, even though there's not much of a point these days, but you still can, on Instagram at The Fright Crew. Courtney, what should the listener do for us?
Listeners should give us a rating and review if they'd like. I know it's kind of coming on the end. It'd still be nice. Or they could mix up a batch of eggnog because it is that
Oh,
season.
shit. Yeah, it is.
Or what else? I
They
don't
could
know. Maybe just
suck
like a
down
little
some
hug or
V8.
something. Yeah, like a little, oh, the V8.
Ew, V8 and eggnog. We probably
Mix,
already talked about
oh,
that. Yeah.
put eggnog on the bottom, V8 on the top, so it like floats. Since
Gross.
eggnog's kind of thick,
Oh
so it's
my
like a snake
God.
bite, but like eggnog and
Ew.
V8.
Y'all gotta sit the
Ooh.
fuck down. Sit out next episode, I swear. Dude,
Wow, that actually sounds delicious.
if you, I will call the police if you made that. And I don't do that. I don't call the boys in
I
blue.
actually might have both of those things in my fridge right now.
Dude, if you sent me a photo of that, I'll scream. I'll
Okay,
scream right in the face of my new puppy. How would you, how'd
we're not doing that. No, all right, I take it back.
that make you feel? Oh my God. So yes, make a beautiful new cocktail. We'll call it the Fright Crew cocktail, you
The
know?
Fright Crew cocktail.
The Fright Crew tail. Yep.
It's just the most disgusting thing you've ever freaking tasted in your life.
Oh my God, probably. So if I were to say anything, of course, for this episode, now that I know it's iconic, I'd have to say stay strange and unusual.
Ooh,
Of
yes.
course. And we love you and see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.